There is a sermon outline inside of your worship folder if you would like to follow along with the sermon in that way. Think about how much trash we go through as people. There's actually been studies done on this, and for me, at my house right now, Tuesday is the night that I put out the trash can, and just magically, it just all goes away, right? And I don't know what night is for you when your trash person comes, but if you look at the statistics, interestingly, we go through about 5 pounds of trash per person each day. It's quite a bit if you add that up over time. It's about 1.6 pounds globally. So I don't know what that says about us. We have a lot of trash as Americans. And it just disappears. But where does it go? Do you ever really think about where your trash, you put it in the trash can, but where does all of that go? But there's actually a lifespan to trash. For example, a paper traffic ticket lasts about 2 to 4 weeks. Or a cotton rag, about 1 to 5 months. An aluminum can, about 200 to 500 years until it kind of disappears, disintegrates. What about the plastic, those six-pack, those covers, those things, you know, that kind of go over the top of the sodas or waters that we drink? 450 years is the lifespan of one of those. And it got me to thinking about what is the lifespan of our sin? I mean, that's what sin is, isn't it? It's trash. It's garbage. We'd love to kick it to the curb, but it weighs us down, and yet we carry it with us, don't we? We don't always have that trash day, at least we think we don't, but yet we carry it with us. And this trash, it can shape us over time. You know, we worry about aluminum cans lasting 500 years in a trash heap. But yet we carry trash around with us from 20 years ago, as if these things happened yesterday. Guilt and shame over something that happened years ago. The things we carry have the power to shape us if we're not careful. And yet we all come here tonight with a varied amount of things that we carry, carrying a variety of things as we approach the cross. Once again, God is dead. That's what Nietzsche said, the 19th century philosopher. And he uses the phrase figuratively. But as we come here tonight on this Good Friday night, we look at a God who didn't figuratively die. He literally, physically died. And this leads us to our text tonight in Zechariah 12. As Zechariah uses that phrase literally, God is dead. And really? Yet this is what Zechariah says in verse 10. The text says, they will gaze, they will nabat in the Hebrew language, they will nabat upon him whom they have pierced. As the text reads in verse 10, I'll start and I'll invite you to join with me in just a moment. Where Zechariah says, and I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and pleas for mercy, so that when they look upon me, on whom they have pierced, they shall mourn for him. Let's join together. As one mourns for an only child and weep bitterly over him, as one weeps over a firstborn. The Hebrew has two words for the word look, and one of those words means to see, is ra'ah in the Hebrew language. The other means to gaze, to stare, to focus your attention on, to fix your eyes upon something, to watch. This is nabat. It's not just a matter of just glancing at something or taking just a glimpse of it. No, gaze. To longingly look at something, to gaze upon God, pierced and crushed for your sin. The word that Zechariah is using is that word nabat, to gaze at something, to longingly look at something. And this includes our sin, the ugly, haunting sin that we carry with us, every single sin. And God not only takes away our guilt, but he takes away our shame too. Nabat, gaze at God. God is dead to take away the sin of the world. It's no surprise that God suffers, that God dies. And when God saw sin and evil, he wept. He grieved. And when God saw Israel suffer in Egypt, he came down into that burning bush. And remember what it said? It said, I know your pain. The only person in Isaiah who talks about this God who is high and lifted up. You know, and so the text goes on to read in verse 5, Isaiah says, let's read it together. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. That's what tonight is about. This God who is pierced for us, crushed for us, for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was all put upon God, upon Jesus. Similarly, Paul says, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. God is dead, not figuratively, not some metaphor, metaphorically, or it's not some euphemism. No, God literally died. Zechariah continues. He goes on to say, they shall mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and weep bitterly over him as one weeps for a firstborn. The only son, the firstborn son, that's Jesus. Jesus is God and he is dead. Consider the irony in that. Jesus as God creates the world, the sun and the stars, and puts them in place. He also made the minerals from which the nails were forged. He breathed life into the woman who would become the mother of Judas, who went on to betray him. Jesus, as God, set in motion the political events that sent Pontius Pilate to Judea, Herod to Jerusalem, and Caiaphas to serve as the high priest. Jesus, as God, arranges and sets in motion his own betrayal, his own torture, his own execution, his own death. He creates the tree that became the cross upon which he was crucified. As we come here tonight, we gaze into Christ's eyes, full of anguish and lament. To gaze, to nabat, and gazing and nabatting leads to gasping, as we'll look at in just a moment. This God who is dead, we gaze at his hands pierced with nails, at the wounds in his side, at the cheeks that are caked with dirt, at his parched tongue that is parched with thirst. We gaze at his face pale and hardened, and just trying to gasp in breath. Death is setting in. His body is shutting down. And in less than 400 minutes, Jesus experienced what felt like utter hell. Maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking to yourself, well, Pastor, you're telling me that God hung on a cross, that his lip was split open, blood poured out, blood caked on his body. You're telling me that a sponge was thrust into Jesus' face, that a dice was tossed at Jesus' feet, that God himself bled, that he took on nails and a spear? Yes, absolutely yes. God is dead. There's no denying it. He breathes his last. He gives up his spirit to take away sin. Your sin, my sin, creation's sin. As Psalm 51, the psalmist says, I'll start, I invite you to join with me in just a moment. For you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. Let's join together. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. And so we come tonight to gaze, at this God who was willing to go to a cross for us as the sacrifice acceptable to God, as a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Is there a better way? I mean, you think there could be a better way. I mean, Zechariah 12 tells us, I will pour out on them the spirit of grace. Who is the them that Zechariah is talking about? Well, it's the ones who carry out Jesus' death. Well, who is this? Well, it's you and it's me. And what does the Holy Spirit do? Well, he breaks our hearts. As Zechariah says, that it will be a day of lamenting. The land laments from the plains to the mountains. The picture that Zechariah describes is this, that the people gasp as they gaze at this God who dies on a cross for us. Because at the end of the day, faith isn't about feeling bad about our sin, that our sin has been exposed. Faith, it's not about working through the guilt or working through the past or the fear. Faith isn't about anything that we do. It's not about an action. It's not about trying harder or doing more or praying this way or giving that or whatever we might think that faith is. Simply put, saving faith gasps and gazes. It gazes nabat upon God, dead on a cross to take away the sin of the world. And gazing leads to gasping. And here tonight, we gaze upon our Savior, the treasure among the trash. There hung Jesus, stripped, naked, and in agony, as he cries out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? As the crushing weight of that cross was bearing down, full bore on him, a cross on a hill called Golgotha, a trash heap. And just he's a corpse at this point, and the smell of death is all around. All of this our God shouldered for you and for me out of love. And yet, we all gather here tonight carrying around pieces of that trash heap, don't we? Carrying around experiences and memories and events and pain and sorrow and laments from our past, guilt and shame, and these things can knot us up into our core and our soul, and that's what these ribbons are all about. Think about your life for a moment, kind of like this ribbon. We have a beginning and we have an end to our lifespan of life, right? And there's different experiences and things that make up this span of life that we have. Some incredible good blessings, some good things. But then on the flip side, there's some struggle on this ribbon as well, isn't there? There's some brokenness and shame and guilt and very hard things that over time they can just knot us up in a ball. And we carry around these experiences with us wherever we go. And yet the sermon began today asking that question. Where does all your trash go? Where does the trash of our life go? Well, it goes to the trash heap of Golgotha, to the cross, a literal piece of trash. Ponder your life. Again, the marks on this ribbon, the wounds, the thoughts, the memories, the things that we carry tonight. And tonight we're going to have an opportunity in a little bit in our service to take these ribbons, the sins, the things that we struggle with, and to tie them and to put them onto the cross. To know that when we let go of these, when we tie them to the cross, they are no longer ours to carry. Jesus died for them, and he rose for them. And that's why this night of all the services is arguably one of the most important services all year. Because without today, there is no Easter Sunday. And so tonight is all about considering Jesus' death for you. And so in just a little bit in our service, we're going to provide you with an opportunity to take these ribbons and to place them onto the cross this evening. But listen to this key shift in the text, that you can't truly gaze on the cross if you're so focused looking down at your ribbons, at the things going on in your life, because if we're only focusing down here, we're missing on the things that are going on up here. There's a shift that happens from looking down at your sin to looking up at the cross. That is the move of faith, isn't it? That's what Good Friday is all about. But the trouble is we carry these ribbons, these sins, for so long, and they can get so heavy over time that sometimes we start to think that we can't imagine life without these things. And yet, we also know, and we may not again know what life is like without this brokenness, but God can. And He does more than just imagine it. He gives it to us through Jesus. He shows us a better way. As John 1:29 simply says, "The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him," this is John the Baptist, "and declared, 'Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" The Lamb of God has come to take away your sin. Not just the sin of the world, but your sin. And you probably know that corona, we all went through the coronavirus, COVID, not that long ago, but corona is Latin for the word crown. Coronavirus gets its name from a spiked ring of proteins. Its surface looks like a crown, right? Henceforth, the name corona, crown, virus. And so there's a little picture of it behind me. And if you're like me, it was kind of a rough season, wasn't it? We tried to figure out what to do in 2020 and then beyond. We're still feeling some after effects of it today. Think of the impact that 2020 had on our relationships, that it had on us financially. Some of you may be still trying to get out from underneath that time. Think of the impact that it has had on us emotionally and spiritually. But we've also grown through this time as well, haven't we? We learned good things, and we learned some challenges as well. And we learned to appreciate the good things that make up this ribbon of our life, haven't we? And yet our sacks, our trash at times, the things that we carry spill over, the laments. You know, I'm your pastor, and granted I'm still new here and the new guy on the block, but I love you and care about you and want to see what's best for you. And yet, let me be clear, that if we keep our focus on this crown, you will be overwhelmed. You will be overwhelmed by the things of this world and sink deeper and deeper into your sack. If you focus so much on what's on your ribbon, it'll be a challenge as we get overwhelmed by the things of this world. But there is good news. There is another crown, a crown that announces God's love, God's pardon, and God's peace. And God wore this crown on the day that He died for you and me and all creation, a crown of blood on the cross to take away the sin of the world. And here tonight we gaze, we nabat this God who dies. We gaze upon this crown and the God who wore it, all for you. Look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The trash of your life has a lifespan to it. It truly does. And it ends tonight at the cross. As we give it to Jesus who died to take it away for once and for all. And so stop looking at your trash and focusing on the trash as we start gazing, nabatting our Savior. So Father, we come before you. We thank you for going to the cross for us, for dying a real death, feeling real pain. We do carry with us trash, Sin, brokenness, shame, laments, sorrow, depression, anxiety, worries, fears. The list is endless of things that we carry unnecessarily. And so tonight we're going to take an opportunity in a little bit to place these sins, these things that we wrestle with, and to place them at your cross, and to know that they are no longer ours to carry, but they are yours. And they are put to death and covered by your blood once and for all. Lead us to gaze at you once again, to stop getting entangled by the things that wrap us up in this world, and to start gazing at you, to know all that you went through for us. Father, thank you. We are profoundly and eternally grateful for all that you've done for us on the cross and the empty tomb. In your name we pray. Amen.